daily Los Angeles Angels podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. Today's episode of Locked On Angels is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars on the market right now. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your first order. In today's episode, we're going to continue our list looking at the top 50 players in Angels franchise history. We are getting close to the end of this series. Today, we're going to look at players numbers 15 through 11. Before getting into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, best place to find me is at BMags94, and the podcast can be found at Locked On Angels. And you can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Tuesday. Apologies on not getting the podcast out on Monday like I usually do. I was celebrating my birthday on Sunday and felt like it was a little appropriate to push it back by a day. But I do apologize for not putting that out earlier last week. But I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're doing okay right now and trying to make the most of this new year. So like I mentioned, we're going to continue the series looking at the top 50 Angels in franchise history. We're going to look at players numbers 15 through 11, which means we only have two more of these episodes after this. And I was expecting this to take up more of the offseason. Obviously, this is going a little bit quicker than I thought, so I will probably try to wrap that up this week. I think you can count on that being the remaining episodes of this week. And it's been a lot of fun. I've kind of enjoyed this series. It's been fun to revisit some of these players, a lot of whom I'm familiar with, some less so. So it's been a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed this exercise as well. There were a couple things I wanted to touch on before getting into this episode, though. The first one is the Baseball America top 10 list came out for the Angels last week. And unsurprisingly, coming in at number one was Joe Adell, number two, Brandon Marsh, Chris Rodriguez came in at number three, Reed Detmers at number four, and Jordan Adams at number five. So I think, you know, looking at this list, it's a pretty strong top five. If you were just looking at top five, you know, in everybody's system, I think the Angels would probably fare pretty well. Marsh, Adell, possibly Rodriguez, Detmers, and Adams are top 100 guys on various different lists, so it's pretty strong at the top. The problem is it gets a little thin after that, and maybe a little thin is not doing it justice. It gets a little scary once you get past the first five guys, and that's not to say that guys like Jeremiah Jackson and Kyren Paris, Errol Vera, some of these younger, higher upside guys aren't exciting, but there's a lot riding on the top guys on this prospect list, and you know, it's a little scary because a lot's banking on those top guys. I guess the biggest surprise would be, you know, first of all, Joe Adell is listed as a prospect for Baseball America. That's not the same for other outlets. I believe both Fangraphs and MLB.com have removed his prospect status, so this is one of the few outlets that still considers Adell to be a prospect. And I think the other surprise is Chris Rodriguez. I have been on board with Rodriguez for a long time, really since he was drafted. I think there's a lot to like there. I like the build. I like the pitch mix, the ability to miss bats, throw strikes, all of that kind of stuff. But he's just dealt with so many injuries, and I'm a little skeptical to think a guy that's thrown, I believe it's like 20-something innings over the last 3 years or so. That's a little concerning. Now, there was a report that came out, I believe a couple months ago, about Rodriguez throwing more innings in this 2020 year where there wasn't a minor league season. I want to say it was something like 60 to 70 innings, according to Mike DiGiovanna of the LA Times. But it's still, there's a lot of risk there in that profile. And I was definitely surprised to see him ahead of Reed Detmers, just because I think there's a lot higher floor, less risk for a guy like Detmers. But I must say it's very encouraging that one of the outlets views him in that fashion, because that gives the Angels two legitimate starting pitching options for the future. So I wanted to share that. And there was one other piece of information that came out regarding the Angels. And I'll be the first to admit that I really do not think this is much of a story from a baseball perspective. So if you haven't heard, former Angels staffer alleged widespread use of foreign substances. So last March, the Angels dismissed their visiting clubhouse manager, Brian, quote-unquote, Bubba Harkins, amidst these allegations that he was providing other teams' pitchers with foreign substances. Now, I think my first reaction is it kind of stinks that Harkins was the one taking the blame for that, because it's basically been examined at length that pine tar and rosin and illegal substances are being used like crazy. If you haven't read that kind of stuff, check out Ian Osiris's work at The Athletic. He's basically explored this at length, and there's a pretty convincing argument that a wide majority of pitchers are using something. So it's a little overblown, I think, this whole story, just from the perspective of people maybe being surprised that foreign substances are being used. That's not really a surprise. That's been a thing for a long time. It just kind of sucks that there's a former Angel staffer that was mixed in all of this. So I did want to throw that out there. From my perspective, I think this is kind of a non-issue. I think a lot of pitchers are using stuff, and quite frankly, I think it's probably better that they are, just from a perspective of having these guys be able to throw strikes, because it's really hard to throw a baseball over the strike zone. But with that being said, we're going to move into the episode and look at the top 50 players. So we're going to look at number 15, and coming in first today at number 15 on our list is Howie Kendrick.
In the air to left center field. This one's hit well. Martin giving chase. Goal! Walk-off big fly for Howie Kendrick. Light that baby up.
So as usual, the highlight audio is going to be courtesy of Major League Baseball. So Howie Kendrick, top 15 player in Angels franchise history. He has 23.1 wins above replacement. And we touched on him recently. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when he retired. And I spent a good couple of minutes talking about him, but I think it's worth re-exploring again. And the story of Howie Kendrick is really interesting, because I think a lot of people expected more from Howie Kendrick. I think there's this belief that a guy with a career 358 batting average in the minor leagues was going to be a perennial batting title guy in the major leagues, an MVP candidate type of player. And Howie never really reached that stage at any point in his career, other than his pretty ridiculous 2019 playoff run with the Washington Nationals. But this was a really good player. A career 292 batting average, had a pretty strong on-base percentage, hit for some power, ran the bases well, played good defense at second base, was durable. This was a really good player, and yet it still felt like it was never enough for a large portion of Angels fans, who just kind of felt like he underperformed based on what was expected of him. And I definitely agree that he didn't reach those crazy expectations that were put on him, but finishing as a top 15 player in a franchise's history is pretty remarkable. The guy was a staple at second base for the Angels for nearly a whole decade, and was just so consistently strong at the position. Never was a guy that, you know, approached MVP level, had one all-star appearance with the Angels, but this was a solid player, durable, and, you know, quite frankly, is one of the more underrated players, not just in Angels history, but I think really in more recent baseball memory. I don't think people really quite gave him the credit he deserved. He was around for a long time and was quite the player. So he comes in at number 15 on our list. We're going to move on to number 14 on our list is Mark Langston with 25.9 wins above replacement.
The 2-2 pitch. He comes sidearm and he hits a slow ground ball toward the pitcher. Langston to Joyner, and the seventh is over. A 1-2-3 inning, 8 in a row now, retired by Langston.
Mark Langston made his way to the Angels for the 1990 season after signing a 5-year, $16 million deal, which at the time was the largest contract handed out to any player in terms of both years value or annual average value. This was a huge, huge deal at the time. And again, it's a reminder that the Angels have always been really big spenders in free agency, dating back to when free agency became a thing in the late 1970s. But in terms of what Mark Langston did, I mean, this was one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball at that time and performed as such with the Angels when he came over, and really just right from the start was durable, provided above average ERAs, strikeout numbers, all that kind of stuff. This guy was really solid for the Angels, ended up pitching from 1990 through 1997 with the Angels, kind of started to fall off at the end, but you look at what he did, you know, some of his years were really freaking good, man. I mean, his first year, 223 innings with a 4.6 wins above replacement. The following season, tosses nearly 250 innings with an ERA of 3. I mean, for context, that was kind of right in the middle of the steroid era, so a ERA of 3 over that many innings is crazy valuable. And then, you know, the next couple seasons, tosses basically 500 innings, give or take, with an ERA in the mid-3s. This guy was really, really something at that time. And, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention the fact that in his first year, really his first month with the Angels in 1990, was part of the combined no-hitter with Mike Witt. And I don't know if many remember this because it was quite a while ago, but kind of controversial at the time. Mark Langston had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning and was pulled because I believe his pitch count was something like 130 to 140 pitches. But yeah, I mean, this is a very memorable moment in Angels franchise history. It's one of two combined no-hitters in the franchise's history. So yeah, Mark Langston, really good pitcher, comes in at number 14 on our list. Coming up in a bit, we are going to finish off looking at the list for today. But first, let me tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is one of the best sports betting websites on the market right now. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Whether it's NFL games of the week during the playoffs or the new NBA season, look no further than BetOnline. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bars are one of the best tasting protein bars ever. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it's ever been before. With 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors such as caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and carrot cake, Built Bars are absolutely delicious. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. Most importantly, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and they work for any kind of diet. So what are you waiting for? Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to keep this list going, and coming in at number 13 is longtime Angel Garrett Anderson with 26.3 wins above replacement.
Ripped. Right field and into the corner. Eckstein scores. Erstad scores. Here's Salmon.
So Garrett Anderson is really all over the top of the list for Angels in terms of like many of the counting stats, whether it's games played, hits, home runs, runs batted in. I mean, he is all over the place. And he was not a superstar. This wasn't a guy that was putting up these gaudy numbers really from a year-in, year-out basis. But in terms of just being a consistent force in the Angels lineup for a long time, I mean, Garrett Anderson was around for quite some time. And again, he was never a star type of talent, but in terms of like a really solid, good player for a long time, it's really hard to find a more consistent Angel. I mean, you think about what Howie Kendrick did with the Angels. It's kind of a similar mold in terms of guy that was with the club for a long time, never was like an MVP candidate, never was kind of quite at that level, but was just a strong, steady force for over a decade. And, you know, I'd be remiss to not talk about his contributions to the 2002 playoff run. Had multiple big home runs in the playoffs, had the bases-clearing double in Game 7 of the World Series. And, I mean, this guy was such a guy, you know, such a fan favorite, an easy guy to like. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have too much more to say about what Anderson did, but he was such an integral part of what got the Angels to the 2002 World Series and ultimately their first World Series title. We're going to move on in our list. Coming in at number 12 is John Lackey with 27.1 wins above replacement.
Aurelia pops it into right. Salmon waits for it. And the rookie Lackey is through five.
So you heard John Lackey's name recently in that little series I did with Jared Timms doing the all-time Angels draft, and Lackey was really good for quite some time with the Angels, and I know there is a bit of a bitter taste from Angels fans just based on the way that he left and some of the comments that he made. I mean, even his last start with the Angels, you've probably seen that gif going around where he was pulled in Game 5 of the 2009 ALCS against the Yankees, where he drops a pretty obvious F-bomb. So there is this, like, on one hand, people always have this recency bias where they look at what happened when the guy left, but it's important to remember where this guy started from and was a huge, huge part of the World Series run in 2002 as a rookie, making these big starts in the World Series, including Game 7 of the World Series, and really just established himself as one of the best pitchers in baseball for much of the decade. You look at what he did from 2003 to 2009, his last season with the Angels, and he was just remarkably consistent. Was a pretty steady 200 innings a year type of guy, had ERAs in the mid threes and the low threes, was just strong, steady, never quite at some dominant level at any stretch, but you look at what he did from 2005 to 2007, in that span had a 3.44 ERA and 5.3 wins in 2005. The following season in 2006, Lackey had a 3.56 ERA and 5.3 wins above replacement once again. And then 2007 was just a monster of a season. 224 innings, a 3.01 ERA, and 5 wins above replacement. So this guy was really, really good for a stretch with the Angels and was kind of hurt, not as effective for the last few years with the Angels in 2008 to 2009, but was still pitching big games for the Angels in the playoffs. Was a Game 1 starter, I believe, in the 2009 ALDS against the Red Sox. I mean, this guy was a big game pitcher, around for a long time, durable, and yes, the ending of his career with the Angels was not exactly what you wanted to see, but in terms of what he provided the franchise was monumental in the 2002 playoff run and was the Angels' ace for a long stretch of the 2000s. And we are going to finish off today's list looking at number 11, and that is Darren Erstad with 27.6 wins above replacement. So talking about Darren Erstad is pretty interesting because, again, it's kind of similar to the Howie Kendrick mold because Darren Erstad was the number one overall pick in the draft in 1995. And whenever you're the top pick out of any draft, the expectations are going to be through the roof. So someone might look at his entire career and see he was below average offensively by weighted runs created plus at 93. His 28.5 wins above replacement in his career was pretty strong. That's a good MLB career, but maybe not quite as high as someone would have expected from a high draft pick. But again, I think it's important to remember that even the highest of draft picks are not a surefire bet to become productive, even if you're number one overall in the draft. And in terms of what Erstad did, I mean, again, this was a remarkably consistent guy. You look at what he did from 1997 through roughly 2004, pretty steady 2 to 2.5 win player. Obviously, he had that one, what is very clearly an outlier season in 2000, but was kind of an inside look at how good this guy was when he was at his best. So that 2000 year is undoubtedly one of the best seasons in Angels franchise history, even including seasons for Mike Trout. Played in 157 games, hit 25 home runs, 28 stolen bases, had 121 runs scored, drove in 100 runs, 140 weighted runs created, plus 355 batting average, and was worth 8.7 wins above replacement. I mean, by all accounts, that was a just monster season. And sure, I think fans can look at that and say, I kind of wish we would have seen that more often. But again, I think it's important to remember that this was a quality player for the Angels for quite some time. Was a, you know, double-digit home run, stolen base threat for many of his years with the Angels. Was a big part of the playoff run in 2002. Obviously, if you, as you heard at the beginning, had a big home run for the Angels in the Game 6 comeback. He had, you know, other moments throughout, including catching the final out of the World Series. So Darren Erstad was just an absolute gamer, really strong player for a long time, and comes in at number 11 on this list. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, thank you to Major League Baseball for providing the highlight audio. And as usual, you can find me on Twitter at BMags94. So in terms of what's coming later on this week, we've got two episodes to go this week, and we have two more remaining for this list that we're doing. So I think the plan as of now is to just try to trug through this, finish it this week, and kind of move on to something new next week. Obviously, if things change, if the Angels go out and make a big move, if there's another big transaction that occurs in the baseball world, we'll talk about it here. But as of now, the plan is to finish this top 50 list this week. So you'll get an episode on Wednesday and an episode on Friday. But with that being said, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk on Wednesday for some Angels baseball.